Is it a good morning or not? Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. There's a little bit of energy from the Presbyterians today. We welcome you to this hour of worship here at Davis Memorial Presbyterian Church. My name is Kevin Starcher, one of the pastors here. The Reverend Dr. Peter Vile will be preaching for us today about loving your enemies, which sounds very nice, but I'm sure we're going to get a good sermon about the realities of the difficulties of that. We thank Dr. Melody Meadows for providing us and leading this amazing choir back here, and we thank Linda Rudy for serving as our liturgist today. In your pews, there are red friendship registers. If you could fill that out and pass it down the aisle, we'd be grateful. And then beginning on page 5 of your bulletin, there are announcements for our congregation. We note that today there is a congregational meeting right in the midst of the service that we anticipate will take 3 minutes. We'll be discussing two matters. One, we're going to make sure that we're adequately paying Dr. Vile. And the second is the procedural vote that will dismiss me to go be a pastor in Boise, Idaho later in March. But we do anticipate that will be really quick. Any other announcements this morning? Linda.
I have an announcement on behalf of the membership committee. We could use some greeters, and this is a really easy thing to do. You just get here about 20 minutes early and stand at the back and greet people as they come in. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't take much time. So if you can do that, see me or Julia Castles or one of the other members, I'd appreciate it. Also, we have a little group of people here that crochet and knit, and we give things to the shut-ins, and we also make baby blankets for baptisms, which we're wonderfully blessed with a lot of baptisms lately. Sue Chenoweth and Anna Harper and Naomi Castles have all helped. If you could help make things or even donate some yarn, we'd appreciate it. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, I see Sue Chenoweth has an announcement. As she comes forward, tonight is Kids Club Youth Group Club 456. It'll be a fun time. And then next Sunday, this is for everyone, all of God's children, we're going to Blackwater Falls for a sled riding event. And Levi and I are going to go, and we hope that you'll join us next Sunday after church. I'll try to keep my sermon short as we go to Blackwater Falls. Sue.
Yes, I just wanted to point out, there was an announcement in the bulletin last week, and it's not there this week, but it will be in your newsletter about our upcoming Bread and Broth series. And the books have arrived, and there is a table in the White Chapel, so if you're anxious to get started on your reading, you may pick up a book. All the information is on the table, and we're hoping to, our first gathering will be, Brad, the date? March 8th, which is a Wednesday at 6 o'clock here at Davis Memorial. So pick up a book and start reading. And if you have any questions or need anything, check in the bulletin or one of our Christian Ed members or talk to Brad Martin. Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Any other announcements? Everett has an announcement. Can I read your mind and think about what this announcement is going to be? Is it about the great day of service and how we are looking for a project for someone who could use a helping hand around their house? So if you know of someone that is deserving of some help with some Presbyterian muscle, please let Marcia know in the office or Mr. John Talbot as they plan the great day of service coming up in April. Everett, thank you for that announcement. Anything else? Well, friends, Levi has an announcement. What's your announcement, Levi?
Sometimes you can kick the ball at soccer.
Yes. Just so everyone knows, soccer is a fun sport, and sometimes you too can kick the ball at soccer. We'll see if I can come up with a good bridge from that, Levi. Maybe life is like a soccer game. And you have the opportunity to come up and kick the ball. This isn't going to work for worship. But friends, we gather for worship and we lift up our hearts. Celebrating hearts, broken hearts, aching hearts, we lift them up. with much trust that God will meet us in this intentional hour of worship. So friends, let us lift up our hearts as we worship the Lord our God.
Please join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. God's Spirit dwells in us. We are God's temple. We belong to Christ. Praise the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today with humble hearts to worship and praise you. Thank you for this time when we will learn more about you and your plan for our church and our lives. Help us to listen for your voice now in this hour and as we go forth into the world to share your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Our first hymn is number 321, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you. God declares to God's beloved, "You shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy." Trusting in divine mercy, we confess our faults before God and one another. There is a correction in the first line of the prayer. It is your law shows the way of righteousness. Let's pray together. Holy God, your law shows the way of righteousness, for we forsake your commandments. Aided with the disabled. We have not been truthful in the daily business. We have been unjust in our judgment of others. We have sought vengeance against our enemies. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us our sins and rouse us to sincere repentance by the power of your Holy Spirit. Free us to live as holy people with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, God, who is just and merciful, reproves our sinful ways, offers the grace of repentance, and frees us to live as God's beloved children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, we are the forgiven people of God. Let us thank God by sharing the peace of Christ with one another and sharing that forgiveness and grace. And our response as we share the peace of Christ is, and also with you. Let us share the peace of Christ.
This is the time in our service where we invite our younger participants to come forward to listen to the Bible being read, and then we have a special message. But let all of us, even those big kids out there, give our listening ears to Ms. Linda as she reads to us from the Bible.
Our scripture reading today is from the New Testament in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 38 through 48, and you can follow along in your pew Bibles on page 5. You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
To God. We have a wonderful group of young friends with us today. We'll see if this microphone works. And to let everyone know who's here, can you share your first name in the microphone?
Tate. Everett. Levi. Laurel. Oh, no, sorry, Estrid.
Are you Laurel or Estrid? Thank you for saying Laurel's name. It wasn't very loud.
Holly.
Kent.
Elliot.
Harrison.
Well, Harrison, your voice got a little higher this week. It wasn't that bass. It's the same as last week. And Ms. Addy, can you say your name? Nope, not today. It's good to have you up here. All of us friends. And as we look out at all those big people out there, is there anyone out there that God didn't make? Or did God make all of those people out there? What do you think? Did God?
Everybody.
Everybody. That's right. God made everybody out there. Now imagine all of the people that live in this town. Did God make all of them too?
Yeah,
God made all of them too. What about in the entire world? Did God make all of the human beings? Yeah, did God make the animals? Yeah. Did God make the mosquitoes? He did. I don't know why, but God made the mosquitoes. God made us all. But let's think about all the people, because God speaks very specifically about the people. Did you know that you kind of look like God? In the beginning of the Bible tells us that God made the human beings and said that we were created in God's image. So we look a little bit like God. Can you believe that? Levi looks a little bit like God. Kate looks a little bit like God. All those people look a little bit like God. Yeah. Even Harrison. It's great. Do you think God has a binky? No, I don't think so either. But you never know. God might. Yeah. And because all of the people look like God, we're supposed to love them all. Is there anyone that we shouldn't care for? Or should we love everybody? What do you think, Estrid?
Everybody.
We should love everybody. Sometimes at school, or maybe even at church, people might not be nice to us. Does God say we should get mad and leave? Nope. God says we should love them and pray for them, even our enemies. which is a big word for the adults to think about. But for you, I just want you to know that God made everybody, and because we all look like God, we're supposed to love him. Let's pray.
And also bugs look like God too.
And the bugs look like God too? You might be right. That's a good theological question. Maybe you could write a book on that. Let's think about that.
And the mosquitoes look like God too.
Maybe. Let's pray. God, it's so fun to think about what you look like, because we know that you look bigger than humans, and we know that you look bigger than bugs or mosquitoes, and you love us all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in your sight. God, help us to love all the people in the world, even the people that aren't nice to us, and help us treat them as we would treat you, God. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. If you're younger than first grade, you can head upstairs with our nursery staff, and the rest of you can join your family. Thanks so much for coming up.
I want to prime the pump a little bit this morning, a little bit more with the verses from Leviticus that are part of the readings for this week. Listen to God's boundaries as opposed to our boundaries when it comes to those that are those that have a right to the reaping of the fields. Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, am God, your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare, or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard, and you shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal. You shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart anyone of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Well, when I look at the gospel lesson today, I think the sermon title could have been just as well, Jesus, you've got to be kidding. But something told me not to put that in the bulletin for history's sake. But Jesus Christ, our Lord, you've got to be kidding. What are you saying to us? Paul says that the gospel passage for today is filled with the foolishness of God to turn the other cheek, to hand over your cloak, to walk the extra mile, to love your enemies. What is this madness? One thing it's not. Jesus isn't talking martyrdom here, although that was the fate of a number of his hearers. What he's offering is transformation, both practical and theological. He's calling us to active, creative, nonviolent resistance, according to Walter Wink, pointing out in his book entitled Engaging the Powers. Jesus is offering a way for poor, humiliated people to take the initiative against their oppressors, the Romans, allowing them to restore a sense of dignity while putting their oppressors off balance. If a Roman soldier was to ask you for your shirt, to offer the cloak as well was civil disobedience. It was being loving, it was being nice, but it was engaging the oppressor. Being hit in the cheek and offering a second cheek was engaging the oppressor. Being asked to walk a mile and then walking an extra mile was disobedient in a civil sort of way. But it provided time for the believer to engage the oppressor. And thus we have it as it is today in the scripture. If it isn't enough, Jesus is also transforming the very definition of us and them. For ancient peoples, and perhaps even more so for the Hebrews, the world was divided into people of God and the other, the sacred and the profane. The instructions in Leviticus are given to the whole Israelite community and are primarily, but not exclusively, as we will see, about how to deal with family, neighbors, and tribe. Don't defraud your neighbor or slander your kin, hate your sibling, or bear a grudge against any of your people. Jesus affirms this. Jesus affirms the love of neighbor, but then takes a colossal step further. Love even your enemies, that you may be children of God, who, after all, is Creator and Lord of all people, as we've established. Bad and good, just and unjust, mosquitoes or bugs. With that, Jesus takes the concept of our people and expands it to include all the children of God. That is, he makes sisters and brothers of all peoples. But back to Leviticus. There's something else here that can't be ignored. God does more than describe the act of gleaning, where the poor can collect the leftovers from the harvest if they want to. The mandate is that producers intentionally leave a portion for the benefit of those in need. The assumption is that they have a right to sustenance. This is about justice, not charity. And here's another surprise. It's not just the poor among thy people that have a claim to a portion of the harvest, but also the alien, the foreigner. There is an assumption that the alien or the foreigner will be in the land, seeking crop, seeking food. God's bounty extends beyond human boundaries, the lines that Jesus later obliterates are already being stretched. The wisdom of the world yields to the perfection of God. Jesus now helps his disciples realize that following him will mean meeting up with those whom you would rather not come into contact. with whom you might consider your enemy. Love your enemies. You will come across those outside of your immediate circles with whom the principles you learned from Jesus perhaps you'd rather not share. You will meet others for whom you'd rather the kingdom of heaven need not apply. It's ours and ours alone. There's a fullness of offense in Jesus' words. You have heard that it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? If you only love those who love you, what reward do you have indeed? How is that a mark of discipleship? How is that living into Jesus' last words to his disciples in Matthew, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Great Commission should resonate with this portion of the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Matthew is going. This is where Jesus is going. And the disciples need to know this on the front end. The disciples need to know the end goal of Emmanuel, that their discipleship in part means bringing God with us to the world. To the world. Not just you-uns and we-uns and us folk, but to the world of people. It's a fitting end to this time after Epiphany, in that the season of Lent calls attention to the ways in which the world will reject such a revelation of God. What do we do with such rejection? We continue to be salt and we continue to be light. That is all we can do. This is what Jesus needs us to do. But let's admit it right here and now. Loving your enemies does not sit well with most of us. First, you have to determine just who those enemies are. They are often not the obvious suspects. Determining the identity of our enemy is a line that has been blurred by the global response to terrorism. Our enemy has indeed become our neighbor, or so we think. Suddenly, the world that Jesus envisioned has become rather small. And that is not a good turn of events. Our similarities have become our differences, and our differences sometimes become our similarities. We suspect those we never did before. We question those we thought were our friends. We look differently at those that others have said, do you really know who they are? The problem with this section of the Sermon on the Mount is that it is easily dismissed as that which could only apply to the time of Jesus and not ours. That Jesus' world was simpler than ours. That Jesus' context did not have the complexities of our own realities of global proportion. Until we remember that Jesus lived and did his ministry in a Palestine that was a Roman province, that is a complicated situation, complex. Until we recall that the Gospels were written in a post-temple, post-Jerusalem, post-destruction reality, then suddenly Jesus' world does not seem that far from our own. And we realize that at the heart of Jesus' message is in Matthew is a message essential for what it means to be the church today. Loving your enemy? Really, Jesus? Do you mean that, or is that some sort of euphemistic exclamation meant to remind us just to kind of be nice to people? No, love your enemy means just that. And it is an important message going into Lent. When those you hoped would walk alongside you end up abandoning you. Our enemies are not always those we deem our opposites, our detractors, our challengers, our resistors. Our enemies are all too often those whom we do indeed love. Which makes it even more tough. Thomas Merton said, "Love seeks only one thing, the good of the one loved." And another quote I'll offer from Mr. Rogers, good old Fred Rogers. Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is, right here and now. You have heard that it is said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray with me. Jesus, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. You kneel at the feet of your friends, silently washing their feet. Master who acts as a slave to them. Neighbors are wealthy and poor, varied in color and race. Neighbors are near us and far away. These are the ones we should serve. These are the ones we should love. And these are neighbors to us and to you. Loving puts us on our knees, willing to wash others' feet. This is the way we should live like you. Jesus, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Amen. And our hymn is number 203.
You may be seated. And as you do so, I encourage you to be mindful of the names and places listed on the back of our bulletin. Also encourage you to be attentive to those names and places that are not listed on the bulletin, but that rest in your heart, for this is the time in worship where we offer our prayers to God. Friends, let us pray. For this day, O God, we say thank you. For the breath we inhale, for the oxygen that animates our body, for the breakfast rumbling in our stomach, thank you. For the simple blessings that we often neglect to say thank you for, we say thank you. Thank you for the person sitting next to us in the pew. We know our neighbors to varying degrees. Maybe we don't even like the person sitting next to us in the pew. But Lord, we pray that you transform our hearts to see you in our neighbor, to pray for them, to seek for their welfare, not for their harm, for their future with hope. Lord, we pray for our neighbor. As we think about our neighbors, Lord, we think about the society in which we live and how we live in and amongst each other here in Elkins and around this nation and around the world. We pray for our leaders. We pray for President Trump and Governor Justice and Mayor Broughton, that they may heed your word and your ways of love and peace and justice. May they listen to you as they lead. We pray not just for elected officials in our communities, but we're also mindful, O God, about the power and voice that we have in our own communities and our own households. So we pray for us that we may live lives and lead our families and our communities in ways that are peaceful and loving and just. Lord, we pray for our community here in Elkins. We realize that our community has a drug problem. Lord, help us to love the drug dealers and to help us to love those who are addicted. For they are created in your image and you have called us to love them. So, Lord, we pray. We pray for our community and we pray for our own selves that we work out our salvation, our response to you, in ways that are deep and meaningful. We pray for our neighbors who are sick and who are ill this morning, praying that you bring comfort to bodies, hope to those who have little or none, and remind us that, Lord, we are your hands and your feet in this world, and that you empower us to go forward in boldness and courage, sharing this one great hope that we have in you, our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We come to our portion of the service where we collect the offering. Sure, we pay the light bills and the pastor's salary with this, but ultimately, the offering is two things. One, a response from you to God for all the grace that God has given to you. Our financial offering is a reflection of our gratitude for all that God has done for us. The second is this. Every dollar that we put in the offering plate goes to ministry, sharing this wonderful hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you love children's ministry, if you love ministry with those who are addicted, we have an Al-Anon chapter that meets here in our church, families, a support group. Your dollars go to support this great mission that we have from Jesus Christ. So being mindful that it's a reflection of our spirituality, and very concretely, your dollars pay for good ministry. May you give as God has called you. Will the ushers come forward? Let us pray. Oh God, for the offering of beautiful voices, we give you thanks. For the offering collected in these offering plates, we say thank you. But Lord, remind us that our lives and our offerings have very little to do with cash, but the very nature of our being and understanding of you. So Lord, we pray that you bless these dollars. You bless our hearts and our bodies, that we may go forth as people who give for the sake of the healing of this world in which you created and loved with all of your being, so much that you gave your only Son to be died, to be resurrected. In whose name we pray, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn is found on page 722. Lord, speak to me that I may speak.
I invite you to be seated for a very brief congregational meeting. Let us pray. Gracious God, be with us as we do the business of your congregation and bless us in this ministry, even as we prepare to say goodbye to the Starchers, and bless them and bless us as we come to this time of transformation, yes, but change and hope and opportunity. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. And I will turn to our clerk and say we probably have a quorum. Thank you, Mr. Armantrout. The coming and going of pastors in a congregation is a congregational vote. You vote us hello and you vote us goodbye. And this is one of those things that needs to happen. Kevin has requested the session called this congregational meeting that we might request of the presbytery to dissolve the pastoral relationship between Davis Memorial Presbyterian Church and himself effective March 15th so that he might accept a call to serve the Covenant Presbyterian Church of Boise, Idaho. You notice the actual dissolution happens at presbytery, but this is in the congregational level, it takes a congregational vote. So there you have the action, and I would entertain a motion to support the request of Reverend Starcher. It's been moved. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded very bravely. Any discussion? Someone asked me at the session retreat, can you vote no at this vote? And I said, of course you can. Any discussion? All in favor, please say yes. And opposed, no. The yeses have it. The second item is an item that is to appear in our congregational minutes once a year to act on the terms of call of your pastor as to their adequacy. And I can speak for Kevin and say that the DMPC pays its pastors very adequately. If you'll take our word for it, there's some detail in the congregational report, annual reports that should have been given out when you got your bulletin today as to 2016, 2017 levels continue with a small raise, and I would encourage your vote to be in the affirmative on this. Is there a motion to declare terms of call for me adequate for 2017? It's been moved. Is there a second? Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
I'd like to say something.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a caveat to your motion that the present budget will be revised after due consideration given to personnel changes at the Kevin's department. So that's not set in stone in your call.
All righty. But at least we can say it's adequate.
It's adequate.
All right. Thank you, David Heyer, Chair of the Finance Committee. Now, all in favor, please say aye. And opposed, no. There being no other business necessary or even possible at a called congregational meeting, is there a motion to adjourn? So moved. All in favor, please stand for the benediction. Opposed, same sign. We have a fellowship time down in the fellowship hall ready for us, so let us prepare to go there. And may we go in peace, serving the Lord with gladness, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonder of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.